This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon, you're on the air. It is 8 minutes after 1 p.m.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Ms. Gill, how are you today, ma'am?
I am well. Thank you, and yourself?
I'm holding on to life.
You should.
Well, that's what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Gill, have you been following the water wars in Barbados recently?
I have. Actually, I was told that I was a little harsh the last time I sat in this chair when I raised the matters as it relates to persons in various rural districts who were unable to get running water.
You think and you say that they should have to pay a bill? Especially when they haven't gotten water since March?
No, I don't think so.
Your MP is still in St. Paul, or used to be St. Paul?
My MP? I never lived in St. Thomas.
Oh, I thought you were St. Thomas, girl.
No.
You're from Rashmahal.
No, never. You got it wrong, Lisa Gill. You got it wrong, Lisa Gill. I didn't live in St. Thomas at all.
Okay, you live in the other side of the island. I don't have any sea. However, mm-hmm. It's rather painful to hear the people of Barbados,
mm-hmm.
crying consistently without any hiccup. No water. And in the main parishes that was there before, they're still having challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But what annoys me, the sitting attorney.
I listen to you. I know. I remember. I don't remember seeing him in the march.
Oh, maybe.
I stood on the Carlisle House balcony and watched those people come down the hill.
Did you see them in the water authority?
No, I didn't. I didn't see that one.
And what is so annoying?
Mm-hmm.
Where is this gentleman now? Is the people of St. George still with water? And the current minister of water, where is he? You know, a couple of months ago, this gentleman said that Barbados is using too much water, you know. And they have to use different toilet and bowls because the current bowl is giving away or throwing away too much water. So you and I have to reduce to a small amount of bath.
It's true. We do use a lot more water than we should for some of the things that we use it for. I should put it that way. So, for example, a flushing of the toilet. A lot of us have toilets that are not, there's a word. My husband should know this, not me. But when you use less, there's a word, it's evaded me right now. But water saving devices, let me put it that way.
When you need to flush, you got to flush.
No, understand me. But you can flush using, let's say, 5 liters as opposed to 10 liters. Or you can have a shower and not have on the water for in excess of 10 minutes, just blazing down. That's what I'm talking about. We use a little bit too much water. And as you know, the international standard is 5 gallons of water per person, per household.
To do what? To bathe?
Per person, per household, for daily use.
You know, these are the same persons that in 2017 were saying that Barbadians were not accustomed to this. And we had a caller who claimed to have called from England, saying that Barbados had gone back 20 years. So how come they could come in 2020, just 3 years different, and telling me something is different? Telling me that I only need to have 5 gallons or 5 liters of water per day?
In a water scarce country, yes, you should manage the amount of water usage you have, and water conservation. I think that we miss the boat a lot, especially in the rainy season. A lot of our water just runs off, and there's hardly any harvesting of water, which can be used for other things other than potable. But I leave that for the experts.
When I was growing up now, there used to be wells which were kept and cleaned. And the water, instead of run off to the sea, ran down to the aquifer. Since I've grown up, Barbados have increased the population to almost 280,000 people. So you mean to tell me the knowledge that was there is no longer useful for today?
I would say that is not useful.
What do you say about it? These gentlemen, this administration is talking about building a desal plant.
I think we should have about 5 desal plants.
Pardon?
I think we should have about 5 more desal plants.
So instead of sending the water down where we can get better water from the aquifer, we send it into the sea and build 5 desal. What was our water building like, Ms. Gale?
And we can also get the same water running. So it could be a hybrid approach.
Ms. Gale, I am bemused at this administration. I am consistently bemused by it. As the way it's galloping. Because here is water. Persons haven't gotten water for 5 or from March. I have traversed East Coast Road early on Sunday morning, and I see ladies there with their clothing, bathing. Oh, like you see in the dressing there one this Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. You can go down there one morning before 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Is that the way that we should live? In 2020, when in 2017, we say that Barbados is about 20 years. Even if it's really fair that some places can have water consistently and other places drunk. Really drunk. It's amazing. It's astounding. I remember Ellis took his telephone, not his telephone, his microphone to a place called Bizet. He couldn't even get the name pronounced properly. And he said he couldn't smell the urine from the door. People had not even flushed. I asked Ellis to take the microphone today again. Tell me what happened in St. Joseph. Tell me what the pastor St. Thomas. There's not water. I mean, he's ready for a minister to live, not the official resident. He gets water. And even the official resident. They even repaved the road in front, but not the one behind. It's amazing. It is amazing. And this is the same person that stood up against one of those community tanks and said, how many gallons it should hold, but it has none now. I asked the permission to go there and stand up alongside those community tanks and tell me how many gallons it got in.
How many do they have in?
In a situation in a place called Barbados. This is the same person that thought that there were 2 Barbadoses. So how many Barbadoses you got now? It's double? 4?
So as you said, you are bemused. I want to thank you for your contribution. You've shared your frustrations. I do have my challenges with how long it's taking to get some of the challenges that persons are facing, in particular St. Lucie and St. Joseph, with water deficiency for so long. And you know, you ask the question, should you pay your bill? You know, so those are some legitimate queries that you've raised. Thanks for raising your concerns. Don't pass tax. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Lisa.
Yes, sir.
Lisa, as a black barbarian whose navel string is buried here, I am exceedingly excited this afternoon. And you too, Lisa, along with all other black barbarians, should be exceedingly excited. You know what? It looks as though Lord Nelson will be finally kicked from out of our hero's career. Because yesterday afternoon, in the 4:30 news, Lisa, I heard Mr. Edward Clark, head of the Private Sector Association, telling Prime Minister Motley and the government that Lord Nelson must be taken out of Hero Square. It's an offense to have Lord Nelson in our Hero Square. And Lisa, you know what? Mr. Ed Clark tells Prime Minister Motley and the government that Lord Nelson must go. That will be done. I'm sure, like no Prime Minister, the Honourable Miss Mayor is making plans to get Lord Nelson out of our hero's career. So this afternoon, on behalf of all black Barbadians, Mr. L. Clark, I want to say thanks to you. God bless you, Miss Clark. Take care, Lisa.
Thank you, sir. I actually read the piece from the Barbados Private Sector Association and talked about a number of things. Actually, I recorded a piece of it because there was a piece that says we also signal BPS's support for the removal of a more sustainable environment. the statue of Lord Nelson, which was erected on March 22, 1813, to commemorate the anniversary of the British Royal Navy's victory in the Battle of Trafalgar in 1805. Indeed, the renaming of Trafalgar Square to Hero Square renders the current position of Lord Nelson overlooking the seat of the National Heroes incongruous. And I remember that when I was reading it and I smiled. Nice, verbose, and explanatory as a position. Dr. Brass Sachs, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ms. Gill.
Good afternoon.
Well, there's so many topics that came up since I was holding on here, man, that, you know.
Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, I didn't end up rambling all over.
No. Think about it. Which one is the most?
I'm going to deal with the last one. I totally agree that the time has long passed for Lord Nelson to be removed.
Right, that's one point. Next point.
I like that one. Listen, the majority of callers that I have been listening to, not just today, mm-hmm. for a while since the topic came up recently, there's not one single individual that made mention of any the history behind Lord Nelson that when they said, well, my mom used to when we came to town, my mom would say, okay, this is Lord Nelson, use this the word wouldn't come. A point then, a reference point mm-hmm. to meet them at. Or...
Oh, you mean in terms of placement? Okay, positioning.
Yes, that's the only thing that you heard,
yes, sir. I disagree.
I haven't heard.
I've heard several things about Lord Nelson. Actually, it was like a lovely lesson in him.
I'm speaking about when they were young and they come to town, the parents would say, well, this is meet me at this point. And they use Lord Nelson as a reference point, or just like how they would say, meet me by Cave Shepherd. Other than that, they weren't given any history or taught any history about Lord Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard any of the callers said that.
I heard different people talk about it, not only in terms of the calling, but I also read different pieces, whether it is in the Nation or Barbados City or whatever, where people would have written on the history. So I can say that I didn't get what you are, that I can agree with you that there wasn't, because to me it was a history lesson. There are some things about him, yes, debatable, as some people argued, but there were some things about him that I got that I never heard before.
Well, let's agree to disagree on that one. I can only account for what I heard.
Question as it relates to whether or not he was a slave owner, whether he was racist,
all different types of things. No. I'm not talking about that. You're missing what I'm saying. I am saying that with regards to being individuals, locals, pointing out Lord Nelson to their children or anything like that, the only reference was that people would use would be to meet me by Lord Nelson.
I heard you, and I said to you that I didn't have that experience. In this whole debate, there was a lot of history as well. And I guess it's because I did reading, like either, for example, there were arguments on Facebook. I received a number of emails from Granville Phillips II and a whole host of people who wrote on Lord Nelson. So I did get feedback on his history and what he meant to them, both his experience as a war veteran, the discussions as it relates to Wilberforce, and then when they were growing up, what they thought when they saw Lord Nelson. Those are the other.
As an adult, you got that information, but not as a child, though.
Right, not as a child, yes.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. So, I believe, for argument's sake, if you had Errol Barrow there, and, you know, you would get a more educational type of conversation when you see that statue as a parent going to town with your child, you will be able to tell your child about Arabara. But as a parent taking the children to town, I am certain there aren't many people that can tell them much about Lord Nelson. That is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You follow me?
Yeah.
Okay. Something you said earlier brought back a memory with regards to a caller that was talking about the changes made to Section 44E. You said you wouldn't believe any government would make such a change, right?
What I have read, that's why I said to him, we need to get the original and cross-referencing and be sure, because something is missing.
A couple of years ago, I was faced with an issue, and I was an attorney at law for the other party called me. I said, but you know you can't do that.
Which other party, ho? Sorry, just be clear.
It was a transaction between myself and someone.
Oh yes, the other party. Yes.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. The transaction.
Yeah.
And the attorney for the other party called me and said, "Well, you know, you can't do that. You can't do that. You're not a bank." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Yes, you can't. You cannot charge that amount of interest." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Yes." Oh, I said, "Okay, well, my attorney will go tell me that." I went to a very prominent attorney, Queen's Counsel, put the case to him. And he said, "Man, I wouldn't even look that up, man. Any government that would want to tell you you cannot charge X amount interest on a loan you give to this person, we're going to be crazy. It is your money. So if you lend him, but there's nothing stopping you from charging him X amount." I said, "Okay." But you know, in the final analysis, you know the attorney was wrong. I went to. Right? Mm-hmm. And it happened to me a second time, not with the same type of transaction, with something I was inquiring about. And I thought to myself, the government can't be so crazy to tell a person that they can't do this. But that just doesn't make any sense. But you know, it was me that was crazy. Because in truth and in fact, that is how it was. Mm. So a lot of things that, I mean, you or me as a lay person when it comes to legal things,
mm-hmm.
might say, "Man, they would be totally crazy. That just doesn't make any sense." But when you check it out, you know, it is there in black and white. It is there. My last point.
Okay.
Now, this is a perfect example. Who would have thought that a minister would be seen on television
mm-hmm.
in another company, the car industry? Huh? I mean, that's a perfect example. I never thought I would have seen that. Maybe I might have heard of it, but actually witness it on television, I can believe this. The Honorable Prime Minister said recently, if you know 4 for 10 to move the product, why try to sell 3 for 10? Well, 4 for 10 is what is going to move the product. Case in point here, just last month, I called that same company inquiring about suspension parts, 6 suspension parts. The total cost was $2,800 and something. I went at one single aftermarket company, and I bought all the suspension parts, the same 6, for $355.
Okay.
$355.
And that's what competition does to us.
So exactly.
So it appears then from what you're saying, from what I gathered, that the minister says he wants to implement a more level playing field, so no, as to remove that that competition.
The problem isn't the playing field. Huh? The problem is the player.
So the player needs to do what the prime minister said to do, and do and do 4 for 10, and not the 12 for 3.
Exactly. And if he knows,
it's called price elasticity, and I learned that at university when I was doing economics.
Okay.
The consumer responds to the better price. The lower the price is, the more elastic the good is, and you can be able to stretch better. So think all about right. it that way. I would buy more sugar if the sugar is for $1 as opposed to if the sugar is $2 a pound.
Correct.
And the dealer will get more money if they sell the sugar for the $1 and not try to sell it for $2.
Yes.
But the same government, if I may, 45% import duty for the chassis above. Well, there are three different levels. You know, you have some cars attract a higher duty than others. Based on the size of the engine, etc. But the taxes are relatively high.
So that is, what he should be arguing
trying
about.
To lobby to reduce the taxes.
Correct. Not try to lobby the minister.
That's what we assume based on what we saw. That's what we assume based on what we saw. And I must say, you would think that when you heard the piece. I heard the clip. And I always tell people, watch the whole thing. And read and investigate first, and don't just go with the soundbite, because sometimes the soundbite can be awfully misleading.
I watched it about three or
two. Not watching the soundbite, no. You have to read.
I watched the whole thing. I watched the whole video.
And he's saying that because I spent some time in my life at customs, and I know a bit about valuation and about, you know, attracting certain tariffs, etc. Did a little study on international trade as well. And there are people who get around the loopholes within the legislation. Look at the case in point recently where we had a former Minister of Commerce, Don Valinis, who had he had a challenge with the chicken industry, the poultry industry, at the time arguing that they don't want persons to import chicken. But persons who were importing chicken had to pay in excess of 187% in duty, whereas chicken importers, of course, they don't have to bring any chicken, or you don't have to pay that. So there was a high level of protectionism in the industry to keep the local producers covered. But over time, because we had signed on to the World Trade Organization, we had to, of course, bring down our tariffs over time to the point that they're consistent, but Barbados did something called tariffication. But not getting technical. Then the importers were able to bring in different pieces of chicken, whether it is cut chicken, soft chicken, chicken with brine on it, at 20% duty.
Right. That's
what. Just sprinkle some salt on it and it comes through. And they made a lobby. The domestic producers made a lobby. I remember that time because it happened in two iterations. One at Foreign Affairs, Foreign Trade Division, and then another time when I was at the Chamber. And one thing we came to, because I was on the committee, let there be some kind of middle ground. Bring down the duty from the 187, that's too high for the importers. But of course, keep it at a decent rate so that the local, you know, we can keep the, because it was about 6,000 or 7,000 people employed in the industry at the time. And I think we ended up coming to a 102% duty. I don't know where it is at now because I haven't been in that space to follow that. But that was a very hard act for the minister to sit in the room. And I also, we have both members of the poultry industry in the chamber as well as people who are importers. And it was a hard balancing act because there were people who wanted to eat you alive for your positioning. But I say that to say that those ministers sometimes find themselves trying to deal with the different peoples or the different sets of lobbyists, I should say.
But you see, I don't think that job that is the minister's role.
No, it isn't. But you got to remember that the minister's policy is set where?
Yeah, yes,
policy is set by, because look at, if I take you to another scenario with right? under Oinatha when he introduced the 4-year, or you know, you kind of bring in a vehicle after a certain time.
Correct.
And at that time, we were also dealing with the environmental levy, which mm-hmm. at that time was a violation of the Treaty of Chagaramus, and Barbados had to bring itself into consistency. Over time, of course, the administration after that disbanded environmental levy altogether. Yes. But these things, don't think for one moment that it isn't the policy that mm-hmm. leads to the action. It starts at the policy. So there's a role for the ministers to play, but not to because be the spokespersons on the matter. Let the technocrats speak on these matters.
Because the same environmental levy that you refer to, the used car dealers had to pay $1,500
per
environmental levy.
Yes, because it was either 3% or 3%.
Didn't have to pay that at all.
Yes.
Right? And all the cars depreciate and will get old and will mm-hmm. dump the same way. So
yes.
That was inequitable.
Yeah, we had something called a violation of national treatment as well. Yes.
Right. So do you see how they were being given preferential treatment?
Yes.
Also, they get a rebate. The used car dealers don't get a rebate.
And then the ability to house the vehicles as well without having to pay
pay
duty so early on, etc.
Because a lot of things a lot of people don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
The new car dealers, some of them could get cars on consignment. They're not paying for them.
Yeah.
You have a bonded warehouse. You're not paying the duties when they come out.
Yes.
The only time that they have to really fork out some money is when the car is actually being sold, and it is actually the customer that does that, because the customer pays, then they pay the duty, then they send the funds back to whichever company they get the cars from. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they're saying the problem is used car dealers are allowed to bring in this particular vehicle, which is more accessorized and so on and so forth, all they have to do is bring in the vehicle,
as a shell, bringing it in under a different...
No, they don't have to bring it in as a shell because...
No, I'm saying that...
Those vehicles are brought in whole.
Yes.
They're not brought in the shell.
No, I'm saying I'm saying that some of the non-new car dealers, we call them, the used car dealers also bring them in as shells.
Yes.
And there was a time when that was stopped. I was surprised to hear that it seemed to have gone back again. I thought that was stopped. That was prohibited from bringing them in as shells and putting them up.
I understand. It isn't, but I don't know. That isn't my year.
It isn't prohibited. Okay. But we research it and get a little more information.
But they're complaining about the guys bringing in the second-hand vehicles, and it's $25,000 cheaper and blah, blah. Wait, it's supposed to be a used vehicle, though.
Agreed.
It's a new vehicle, so what are you complaining about? And if you were saying that the consumers,
mm-hmm.
they're gravitating to that type of vehicle more, all you have to do is bring in that type of vehicle.
Or change your business model. Don't just only bring the high-end new vehicles. Bring something that the market is requiring. You see, it is important for there not to be that meddling on the part of the policymakers in the market. Allow there to be a free market, and it will run its course.
Exactly.
But in our scenario, we are not really a free market. Never were. We never were. I'm going to thank you for your contribution, though. Down to brass tacks. Actually, when we were talking, I was speaking to a gentleman just a little while ago, and I sent a note to a specialist that I know in planning just to find out a little bit more on Section 44E of that amendment. And it actually doesn't require you to move out of your property as we were thinking. It speaks about a certificate of occupancy for new sections or extensions to ensure safety, health, and health and the welfare of the occupants and or the public, because you could be renovating not only a home, and the completion of works fit for occupation. Also, it makes provision for a temporary certificate of occupancy for the extension before the work is entirely completed and final certificate issued. So in essence, you actually don't have to move out of your house as was suggested. And I remember sharing with a young gentleman that I want to find out first what is the certificate of occupancy first, even before we go into what it says it speaks to, because you can be misled if you just read the amendment in its by as a standalone and not get the essence of all of the details of what the amendment is. So I'm thankful, therefore, for that information on the amendment. And if I can go back to the section which said this act, this is the Planning and Development Act. Sorry, that's the original act, 2019. But we were speaking about the amendments for 2020. I'll find it though. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. You are on the air. Remember, we're going until 2 p.m. and we have a full board. I'll try to get in everyone. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Top of the day to you.
Top of the day.
I have four very short subjects for you. And if you would allow me, I notice on today's back page of The Nation, the headline says, soft drink prices going up. Now, fairly recently, the Americans had the same problem with soft drink prices, which related to the removal of the sugar content of the drinks. And they got together and put the drinks out at a much lower price and with much lower sugar content. And I'm wondering if the manufacturers here couldn't do the same. But I will speak to that another time, because I realize our business people do business but without much brains attached to it. Now, as you were a minute ago speaking about the Building and Development Amendment Act 2020,
mm-hmm.
I will touch on that too, very briefly. Prime Minister Motley went in the House and spoke glowingly about this act, or this proposed act, I better say, and told the draftsmen that they would be allowed to do work on up to 10 units of accommodation for consumers who bought properties and who would like to extend them. Behold, when the bill went before the House last week, those 10 units were reduced to 2. And I was not, and well, I'm not very pleased about that climb down from government in that sense. And I am glad to say I was told today by someone who should know that, following a meeting with Ms. Carroll yesterday, it is now being suggested that there will be an amendment to the Act again to reflect what Prime Minister Motley had said in the House. And if that is so, I am pleased as punch. Let me move on, if I may, to something else that is a big, big concern to me. And that is the bringing of commercial travel to Barbados. Now, I for one, have never held the view that we had COVID-19 here in Barbados, that all we had were people who got sick, and a few died too, because of people who had brought the virus here. It was never originated here in Barbados. And that is why if we were to test everybody in Barbados, we'll probably find that right now we will get no more cases. But if we allow people to come from other countries, Canada, America, England, and so forth, we will find, without any doubt in my mind, and I'm not a medical doctor, by the way, but I am convinced that what we will get is a whole lot of people who will be affected by COVID-19. And just to finish off on this point, what would be the point of trying to get American dollars into Barbados at the expense of killing some of our own people. I can't follow that and will not accept it. And I think our Prime Minister and government need to pay particular attention to when we allow people to come into our country. I am of the view, the strong view, that only when a vaccine is permitted and is in use, that we should allow those who have certified vaccine certificates to come to our country, not before.
Okay.
If I may, I'll move on very, very quickly to the building code. We have a document which is a published document called the building code. Now, I feel passionate about this since I was the person who, as its chairman for 10 straight years, feel strongly that it is time that this government bring it to Parliament and make it legal tender. Right now, the building industry and all those people are using the same code that we put together. and it is not a legal document, if I could put it quite frankly like that.
It's not legal.
It isn't.
Work and research, and it's not legal.
That's right. I'm aware.
So you want it to become legal.
I'm
going to thank you for your
contribution. I have one more last point.
Okay, go quickly.
Yes, I'll go quickly on that. And it's to do with this thing we call price gouging, which we commonly hear about. Now, I happen to know that the large supermarkets now market over 50,000 individual items. These are the large supermarkets. And what we dearly need is some information that reaches everybody's living room, whether it be by a website perusal or by some form of advertisement in our daily newspapers, as have been done before, by the way. And I think that this type of shopping around is the only sensible way of knowing who is selling what at what price.
Okay. Thank you so much. You have been in the vanguard of consumerism and those matters for some time. Dr. Bastats, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How long did the hard white police in Trinidad?
I don't know. Can't help you.
No, I hear that three black men, the police killed three black men in Trinidad last night.
Mm-hmm.
So did the hard white policemen in it?
Not necessarily.
Huh?
Doesn't have
to. I want to listen to this program right tomorrow. And you ain't going to hear a word about that.
Okay.
You ain't going to hear a word about that. You know why? Mm. It's a black government. So a black police could kill black people and nobody said nothing.
Okay.
Right? F. Obama was president. Or this big holler, blue. That'd be done. Right? Because Obama would be a black president. Nobody was saying nothing. It is Sir Gordon Trump, the most hated white president, so everybody is making a noise. That is how it is. Tell me a black government that don't slaughter black people. Up in the Sudan, slaughter hundreds of people every day. Mandela does do it. It's happening down in Haiti, Jamaica, Trinidad. Hundreds of people die fleeing the terror of Castro. Nobody says nothing. You understand it? This is a white thing. They want to get rid of the Gordon Trump. You understand?
Okay.
I love Trump, man.
Okay. Thanks so much for sharing your thoughts, Dr. Bastats.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
A blessed afternoon to you. I am wanting to know, from time to time, you go to the bank, and lots is being said these days about the electronic banking and these kind of things and the various ATMs. But when one look at the visually impaired and the blind people in Barbados, they don't have that kind of access to that banking system, use the ATMs. If you go to North America and the more developed countries, where the ATMs incidentally may come from, because we don't build them in Barbados, they have the facilities that persons who are visually impaired or blind or disabled in some form or fashion can still use the ATMs. And I'm going to be calling on the banks in Barbados, the Banking Association, to put some mechanisms in place that one, that those persons mm-hmm. could easily use the facilities of the ATMs, because more and more there's this electronic, being the great electronic age, and with this, all these pandemics and things like that, and this social distancing still in place, those persons will find it very difficult to go to the bank.
Yes.
There are various connections that could be used.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that they will come around it and put the necessary things in place.
Systems in place to assist persons. Visually impaired. Okay. Thanks so much for sharing that. Down to Brass Tacks.
Good day.
Good day.
Yeah, first I would like to thank the water authorities for responding to the burst in the Hilltop Depot last week.
Excellent.
The second thing I would like to say, do you know the contact number for how to get in contact with the representative from St. Michael's of East Sandia Bradshaw?
The Ministry of... Yeah, I think I have the Ministry of Education number for sure.
Well,
you want me to get you to leave your number with me?
No. I asked that question and thing, right, for the simple reason that this is months now. I sent message to her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her response was, will do. Will contact me, right? This is going in 3 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some pressing matters in that area.
So you contacted her during COVID?
I sent a message, all these people into this WhatsApp, I know nothing about it. But
during COVID, because 3 months ago was in the middle of the height
right,
of COVID.
A thing, and her response was, will do. Okay.
Send a reminder then?
Right, listen. Right. Well, all I'm saying is, right,
mm-hmm.
there's some serious matters in St. Michael's office,
mm-hmm.
and the people need them to be addressed.
Okay.
I said already, and I'll say this again, I will not be a resident in that area for all of my life and see people come and do what they feel like when they feel like and are not working in the best interest of the people. We have land slippages there in Blackman Field.
Mm-hmm.
The houses falling apart, two houses in particular falling apart. And I know the drainage, the roads.
Mm-hmm.
This 12 years now, we seeking to get two lights up there, no lights. And you know what is going on with the criminal element nowadays, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have some young people now in 14 and 15 and 16 running havoc in that area, and not a word or not a communication from our representatives. These things are not fair, and I'm going to speak against them.
Okay.
None do who vote for who, or none do that.
Okay.
I'm saying that these things need to be addressed. You cannot be sitting down in Parliament and not thinking about the welfare of your constituents.
Interesting point and a useful point. Anytime you are representing people, people want representation, they want to hear from you. And I'm sure that the matters that you might have raised, I'm not sure what you've raised, but the matters you've raised might be being attended to. I want to thank all of our callers. I want to thank all of our listeners. I want to thank Mr. John Stout, as he was the producer for today. I'm sorry, we still have a full board. The program finishes at 2 p.m. Today was good. I kept people on a little longer than usual. But thank you for engaging me for the time that you've engaged me. And thank you for allowing us to be in your homes. We hope that you continue to listen to Brass Tacks and get your issues raised. We hope that you would continue to be good. My encouragement is to let the Lord lead you and guide you. It has been my pleasure. This is Down to Brass Tacks.